Welcome to Tea
with Mrs. S, a podcast about relationships, life, and everything around us.
What up?
I'm well. How are you? It's been a minute, Mrs. S.
Yeah.
What have you been up to?
Nothing major. Just chilling like a villain.
Chilling like a villain?
That's what they say.
No comment at all.
So let's get into it. What's new on the horizon?
I want to tell you what happened to me. Gosh, when did I reach out to you and I said, oh my God, you won't believe what happened to me? Like 2 weeks ago, wasn't it? Right. And I don't want to hear a peep from you. I know I was stupid. I know I was a mugu. I was mugu times two, times three, times four. But when I tell you the story, you'll be like, no. Like everybody I tell the story, they're like, no, not you. What happened? And what I learned was that sometimes you just have to be present. You know, like sometimes when you're not paying attention, shit can happen to you. And when you get out of that fog, you're like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And let me preface this by saying I am sharing this story because I came out of that experience whole. So let me tell you what happened 2 weeks ago. I was running around doing a whole bunch of things. I had just gotten some news that had really impacted me, you know, put me down in the dumps. And I was trying to balance a lot of things together. And I got a phone call from Citibank. It was an automated call, and it says, you know that automated call, hey, you had fraud to your account. Could you, you know, hold on for a live agent or something? I don't remember how it goes. You know how those fraud things happen, and then they can't connect you immediately to a live agent. And the live agent came on, and there says, oh, ma'am, someone from Indonesia is trying to transfer $1,400, $1,500 from your account. And we need to be able to stop this thing from taking place. So I was like, oh, okay. Thank you. What do I need to do? And they're like, oh, ma'am, you need to download TeamViewer onto your system, and that we will have remote access, and we're going to be able to do what we need to do to stop the whatchamacallit, to stop the transaction from taking place. My darling, you know I've used TeamViewer before. So I'm like, okay, why do you have to use TeamViewer? What's she's like, oh, ma'am, do you want us to be able to stop this fraud on your account now? Or this is what we need to do it. So, okay. I was like, okay, I got on my laptop. I downloaded the TeamViewer. As I downloaded the TeamViewer, they're like, okay, you have it on your system now. I was like, yes. I opened up permissions for them to be able to take over control of the account of my computer. And all this while I was thinking, okay, this is, you know, Citibank, they need to remote into my system. Then they showed me the server that was connecting, and it had that Citibank secure server Cryon on it. So I felt a little bit like, okay, you know, this is Citibank. I downloaded it. Then they took control. Went to Citibank website, gave me the Citibank website and says, oh, ma'am, can you log into your account? I logged into my account. As I logged into my account, they're like, oh, do you see any transfers taking place? I was like, no, all my money is still there. There's nothing that shows that anything has taken place. Ma'am, this is a secure server. We can't see what's on your screen. Can you tell us if you've seen any money? That was any transaction that has gone through. I said, no, there's no transaction. Okay, the secure server. So they said, Auntie, can you see any transactions? I was like, no, I can't see any transactions. They would say, okay, everything is okay. And they said, now we need to be able to log into it to take control of your system so we can do what needs to happen to prevent this occurrence from taking place again. They now took control. As they were taking control, they set up Zelle on my system. As they set up the Zelle, I was like, what do you mean you're setting up Zelle for? Why are you setting up Zelle on my account? Why does Zelle have to be set up? Ma'am, this is what we need to do so that we can prevent this occurrence from ever happening again. Don't you want this to never happen to you again? To have someone be able to transfer money from your account? I was like, of course. Well, this is what we're going to need to do. Just work with us. They sent a authorization code of Zelle to my email address in my account. Mugu. I logged into my email account, got the authorization code, signed the authorization code into my Citibank account, gave everything to them. Then they were now setting up a Zelle transfer. They were going to send, so they set it up, they put in the phone number, and they put $500. At that point, I was like, what are you doing? What are you doing? What do you mean? Why are you trying to send $500 from my account? What's this? I mean, if you're testing something, the test I'm used to is people normally use $1 or $2 to test. Why $500? You can't do that. I took control back from them. I said, there's no way. You can't send $500 to anybody from my account. They're like, ma'am, this is what we're going to need to do to be able to, we have to send this request to our senior accountant. When he gets the request, then he's going to be able to do what he needs to do to block this issue from ever occurring on your account again. I was like, what? I was like, no. You can't do $500. You could change it to $5 or something. I think $5 and $500 is the same thing. Ma'am, she now says, ma'am, why aren't you listening to me? I'm just trying to help you. I'm just trying to help you solve your problem. I said, no, not with $500. That's just freaking me out. You guys are freaking me out. Ma'am, what can I do to make you more comfortable? I said, you can't do anything to make me more comfortable. I'm already uncomfortable. You're logged in remotely and you have control of my system. I'm already uncomfortable. You can't do this. She gets another guy on the phone. Now, everybody I'm talking to is Indian. The guy comes on the phone. He's like, ma'am, I'm the supervisor. This is what we're going to need to do. We have to be able to do this to our senior accountant. He goes on and on. I was like, no. Then God is on the throne, because I can't tell you. The reality is that this would have been a 5-minute story of money and gone. They kept hitting send on the Zelle request, and it just was not going through. Nothing. It wasn't clicking. Money was not being transferred out of my account. Nothing. They were like, ma'am. So then they now tried an email address. They changed the thing to an email address. And then they now put the email address @gmail.com. I'm like, Gmail? Which I said, I thought you said you were from Citibank. Why doesn't the senior accountant have a Citibank extension? What do you mean, a Gmail? I said, no. You can't send any money to any freaking Gmail address. All this while, I still did not realize that I was being just taken for my money. They now took out at this point, I logged out of my account. You would think that my sense would have recovered by then. But I think I must have been in the euphoria and the adrenaline of the moment, because I was so scared. Then she was still talking to me. She's like, ma'am, don't you want us to help you? This. I said, look, Citibank is down the road from me. I'm just going to walk to the office and sort this out right now. Ma'am, why are you going to walk to the office when you've got us on the phone and we can solve your problem for you right away? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. She was just chatting. At that point, I don't know what happened, honestly. Would you believe that I logged in again? Logged back into my account. They now set up the Zelle again. It wasn't going through. Then this was the height of it. They opened a chat with Citibank Help Desk, that online chat thing?
Uh-huh.
Opened it up. They were chatting with Citibank support, was supposedly chatting with Citibank support. We're trying to set up a Zelle transfer and it's not going through this. Then the online chat responded, oh, have you checked your browser? All this while, it still hadn't registered to me that something was wrong, seriously wrong. As they were chatting, I think the chat response says, oh, try a different browser. And then these idiots pulled up another browser in my account on my laptop. I think that was the point that I was like, no, this is nonsense. I'm like, what are you doing? They were now trying to download, went on Google, were searching for Google Chrome to download Google Chrome onto my system. I'm like, what are you doing? What's wrong with you? I'm like, I'm just going to go to Citibank. I don't understand what's wrong with you guys. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then at that point, I disconnected the Wi-Fi. But here's the rub, because between you and me, I don't think I had yet realized that it was fraud. As soon as I disconnected my Wi-Fi connection, I called Citibank. The same number that they had, that Citibank had called me on, because it was a Citibank number. I called Citibank back. I got someone immediately. I was like, hi. This, as I was starting to repeat the story, I stopped. I said, I am so sorry. I am going to sound really, really stupid to you. Here is what happened. I told him what happened. He said, ma'am, have you changed your passwords? I was like, good idea. Hold on a second. Babe, come and see me. Changing passwords, all my accounts, everything, email, everything. I was now freaked out. Downloaded malware to check my system to make sure they hadn't downloaded anything onto my system. Had to download everything. This was my, and each time, like for the past 2 weeks, it's just taking me up till today that I don't wake up every morning to log into my account and check to make sure that my money was still there. Every time I just check, I'm like, okay, my money is still there. I have, and I don't know if it was hubris. I don't know if it was, I really can't tell you what it was, honestly, but that was my experience. My money would have been good. I would not have been able to talk to you today. I would have been still depressed. The account they logged into, and this is what was the weirdest thing, is an account I don't use. It's got money that I put in there for, it's my get out of jail account. If anything happens, take the money, run. I haven't touched it. It's not set up for Zelle. There are no transactions on the account.
Wait, so they had your account number? Is that what you're saying?
You missed the story. I gave them access.
I didn't miss the story. No. What? Here's my question. When they called you, did they say to you, hello, ma'am, this is Citibank, your account number, this has...
No, they did not. Uh-huh. They didn't give me my account number. They gave me the automated recording, and then it went on to an individual.
Okay, so no, there was no, your account number, this is being attacked. They just said they're calling you because someone took $1,500 from your account, but they didn't give you the account number.
Exactly.
Something City, was wrong. You City, were really, really City, going through something that day. Because City number Bank, one, your bank will never call you and have a conversation with you.
You are preaching to the choir.
I have to preach. I'm sorry. Now that we have finished saying everything to that you said, choir. Let me now bring to you. Let me make you feel bad.
I told someone.
This is 2021.
I said to someone, the fact that they were able, everybody I tell the story, let me even give you the rub. This is what is even most depressing about it when I think back on it. I was on the phone with these idiots for an hour and 14 minutes.
I can't believe this.
One hour.
They're learners. That's 14 why.
Minutes.
1 hour and they couldn't collect. They're learners. They must be a new fraud group.
No.
They're not aware.
You know, the thing is, and then someone said to me, maybe you just needed to be humbled. You're one of those people. Because if you tell me any story of fraud, I'm like, what's that? You know, when they tell you stories, you know how in Nigeria, someone's like, oh, this person hoodwinks the house help.
Oh, we had a conversation about that on this podcast. And you said that could never happen to you.
My dear. I was told.
What happened to you is shocking to me, because this should never happen. Your bank in 2021 will never call you and have a conversation with you about that.
I was told that I needed to be humbled. How do I explain it? Anybody I tell this story, someone's like, Ape, you don't suffer fools gladly. So how were you on the phone with fraudsters for an hour and 14 minutes? First of all, I had to go back.
What's your answer to that?
No.
How did
answer.
You entertain that?
I cannot explain it, honestly.
Nobody can call me Wait. Because I really want to understand. How is it that somebody called you and said this happened to me I want to say maybe 15, 16 or so years ago. If you said that's when it happened, I can say I understand, because then banks used to call. Someone was trying to use my account in Spain somewhere, buying diamonds at some jewelry store. And I got a phone call from my bank saying, here's what's happening. And I was like, Meek, I said, the person will be ashamed. when they go to pay for the diamonds and they're like,
and there's nothing.
You have no money.
So that's
number one problem for them. Number two, I was like, yeah, let's change all this real quickly. But today, because of everything, because of how fraud has progressed and the new ways they're going around doing this, your bank will never call you and tell you that. They will never have a conversation with you like that.
I have been so out of the fraud. I have not even felt the need to be on top of everything because I have felt so invincible. All the systems and safeguards that I put on my system to protect me, I was just like, it could never happen to me. And honestly, the only thing that saved me was these levels and layers of protection that I had on my system.
The thing that saved you is that the fraudster who contacted you was incompetent.
Yes, trust me.
Because they
Listen.
Don't explain. Let me tell you. You already gave them access to your system.
Once they gave them access to my account.
Hold on.
Do you know the PTSD I have? Before you finish, do you know the PTSD I have? Is them clicking, after setting up the Zelle, is them clicking send, send, send. The point
the point I'm trying to make to you. The person was incompetent because they would have known that, okay, they would have known to try a different browser immediately. They wouldn't have been sitting down. You know what they were trying to do
was to keep you on the phone as long as they could.
To test this their little 500 and then clean you out completely while you
exactly.
were there. And then you wouldn't even have had, you'd have called your bank and your bank would be like, what can I do? You talk to them, you gave them access, and that would have been the end of that.
Well, I'll beg to disagree on that. I actually talked to someone who says actually your funds are FDIC insured.
Yeah,
it would take a process.
Yes, up to $150,000. So but that doesn't mean anything. What I'm trying to tell you, that's why they ask people to use banks, because your funds are FDIC insured. But the fact of the matter is, you would have had to have gone through an entire process to do that. And your bank would have been well within their rights. See, FDIC insurance has to do with maybe the bank failed or they used your funds to do wuru-wuru or whatever. But you were on the phone and you gave someone access to your account. It would have been a long, drawn out, credit card transactions sometimes you make.
Listen,
sometimes listen. You have to go through a whole process to dispute it. Not to talk about when you gave someone access to your account information and told them, yes, take all the money. FDIC insurance does not work that way.
Trust me, I have PTSD. All I can tell you, and the reason I don't want to speak clearly about the security systems that were in place on my laptop is because, just in case fraudsters are listening, I don't want them to know exactly what it was that prevented them from being able to complete that transaction. But when we go offline, I will tell you. But suffice it to say, I was just fortunate, 100%.
Yeah, you are fortunate. You were dealing with some incompetent fraudsters, people who didn't know what they were doing.
They were very, very incompetent.
To have sat down on the phone with you for an hour and 40 minutes just to try to pay $500. Yes,
zero. You know what the problem was? They were looking at my account. They were looking at the money, and they could not believe that they were this close and nothing was happening. That's what I think was the save. They were this close. You know when you're looking at money and you can't touch it.
Let's You're leave it. Let me tell you in the future. I want you to understand this.
Trust me, there's nothing you can tell me now that I don't know.
Your bank, your utility company, nobody is going to call you and ask you for this information.
It's like I said, it's all right. You're talking to the wrong person.
Please, I'm talking to the right person. If in 2021 this happened to you.
You know, you're right. You're absolutely right that the last time I probably received a phone call from the bank regarding fraud was a very, 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 very long time ago. You are 100% correct. But at that moment, I don't think that the time span of the last time that I received a call from the bank even occurred to me. I was freaked
and
out.
And then it will be an Indian or Pakistani person
You know what the problem I was thinking was, is I think if it was Discover, I would have been alerted because Discover has all their help, all their, contact centers in the United States.
And yes, but then, even with the Citibanks and all of them that outsource, that kind of phone call,
let me rephrase it. I don't know. I'm assuming they were located in India because they were Indian, but I don't think that even occurred to me when it happened. But let me tell you, when I called Citibank myself, the first person that picked up the phone was, "Hi, this is Nadal." I was like, "Oh shoot, another Indian." I was like, "Oh my god!"
They outsource a lot of these banks. Outsource their customer service, their toll free numbers that you call. But I'm saying that if someone were to call you, which they will never in today's times call you, but if someone were to call you, it would have been somebody probably down the street from you. It would have been someone who was American calling you from America, not their outsourced call center. So these are the things that you have to pay attention to, no matter what.
Obviously.
Nobody's calling me. Nobody's. I don't answer the phone. When they called you, the number say Citibank?
The number was the Citibank number. When it comes in on your call ID, and I've tested this because I've had callbacks from different 1-800 numbers from the banks, it doesn't call out the caller ID. But I was able to check the number because I went online to check the number that called me.
Because they can call you and spoof the number.
That is exactly what happened. They spoofed the number. That's exactly what happened. So that was the first layer of protection gone because I went online and there was that Citibank number and it was a Citibank number right there. So first of all, you're right. I don't normally answer calls. That's why I tell you it was like a congregation of items.
Something was going on with you. You better go and pray to God and say, "God, please explain to me what happened to me on that day and please don't let that ever happen to me again."
Listen, the fact that I wake up every day, log into my account and see my money. Ha! I cannot tell you.
They will never get me on the phone. If they called me and the number seemed right, the first thing I'll tell them, I'll be like, "Let me call you right back."
Honestly.
And then when you say "Let me call you right back," and they start arguing with you, you know that this person is
a problem.
Yes.
The thing is this: I don't even pick up my phone. So it was so weird. But you see, here is why I'm trying to tell you. Because I know my bank numbers, I'm pretty good with numbers, and my recollection with numbers is pretty, pretty sharp. When I saw the number, it must have clicked something in my head because it was a familiar number. So I picked it up, knowing, this is a number that I'm familiar with. And as soon as I got the automated Citibank, I'm like, "Oh, it's Citibank." Click, and about to take money from my get out of jail account that I have not touched. If I tell you that I've even looked at the bank statement in that account in 5 years, is a joke. I haven't. That is an account. It is so unconnected to anything. You can't even see one transaction, even why, nothing. That's how bad it is. So I was so scared. I was like,
If I were you, I would close that account, open another one, just for further you know, because
to fulfill all righteousness.
Yes, because you give them access. What they could have been taking screenshots just for posterity. Did you save these things for whatever they want to try to do without
next
your
time.
Actual input?
Right.
Yes.
Right.
So if
right.
I were you, I would first of all just go in and close the transfer those funds to a whole new account. Close that account. Be done with that account. So even if they try to later on figure out their foolishness, oh, this is what we should have done. That's a closed account. So that's the number one step to do. Go and close that account. That's what you need to do. Move those funds immediately.
Oh. Wahala. That's what happened to me. Every time I tell this story, when I first told the story, I was like, I said, I feel like I took armed robbers to my house, gave them the key to the safe, showed them where the safe was, and told them everything that they needed to take inside.
That's you also give them minerals and meat pie and sausage and ask them to relax.
Down. Yes. Sit down, relax, put your
Come
feet
out
up.
Of the
let, me bring, let me bring the money for you. That was how I told the story.
That's exactly what you
I mean. Feel so stupid. And I said to someone, I said, I don't even know. I feel crazy to admit it. I'm very vulnerable because I'm not sure. If they had taken my money, which mouth will I use to tell the story?
I mean, let me not even say anything.
Everybody that I've told the story, they're like, you that you don't even, I delete emails, text messages quickly. I don't even try, you know? Someone was like, you don't even suffer fools gladly. I had because
and shut after that you account step, down.
After you step away from that arrangement, you start asking yourself, what the heck happened? Someone is like, they must have hypnotized you. Someone is like, they used juju on you. I'm like, over the phone? Really? Hey, Jesus.
I mean, you know, maybe they Jesus. Do. It's
I'm sharing.
There's hypnosis. Because when you're telling the story, because that was shocking to me, because you're sitting down there asking somebody, why are you moving $500?
Can you imagine?
I'm like, what is that conversation? I'll be like, are you an idiot? You know, you're calling me to tell me somebody is stealing $1,500, and here you are
want to move
trying
five.
To send an extra five. Something is wrong with you. Click. You know,
listen. Do you see why I told you there was something wrong with me? Imagine me arguing with them and telling them, what do you mean Gmail extension? If a person works for Citibank,
because we like to argue. This is a learning experience. If I were you, I would write down, actually, you know what? This is perfect. I would just go and write down everything that happened prior to the phone call, you know, the state that you were in when the phone call came, and then everything that happened during the phone call, and then dissect your behavior throughout and figure out what it is that kept you on the phone. First of all, you already admitted that you don't answer the phone. Then you answer the phone. Some foreign voice is telling you someone carried money from you, but you didn't have
from Indonesia.
You didn't have the awareness to say, dude, what is the account number they're taking the money from? That's the first thing. You didn't have the awareness, since you decided to entertain the phone call, you didn't have the awareness to say, please, what's the account number? Okay. You didn't have that. Then you opened up yourself to them, said, hey, come on into my account. Click away.
Here you go.
You need to sit down and figure out what happened.
And telling them, and you know, this is what killed me, is like, they're like, ma'am, how can we make you comfortable? I said, comfortable. I said, I'm not comfortable. You are remote into my system. You have access.
That's
you
what I'm saying.
Move around.
Too much tautology. Why were you engaging in a conversation?
Something
this
happened.
Is terrible. I wonder
and
what it is.
Listen,
the little spidey sense, you know, the little intuition was ticking off. But you were arguing with me.
What do you mean ticking off? It was blaring.
Yes, I'm telling you, it was telling you, but you were still arguing with it. You want to be superior in this situation. You want to tell the person talking to you on the phone, who are you, and instead of you to say, me care, my account.
One person said to me, you needed to be humbled. You needed to learn this lesson. This was an exercise for you to learn. And I was like, yeah, I can consider it a learning experience because my money is still in my account though. But I can't imagine. You cannot imagine the devastation I would have felt.
God is wonderful. In my opinion, I don't know if it was about needing you to be humbled, but luckily for you, the novices contacted you.
Let me be clear. I have a new, still difficult for me to have so much consideration for people that are, you tell me your house girl, they told her this and she came and cleaned the whole house. I'm still looking at it with one eye, but I have a new openness in my heart to sort of listen. Because before I wouldn't even listen to the story, I'll be like, just stop right there. There's no need. Maybe now I can listen and say, okay, because it happened to me. And I can't tell you what happened.
But what are you listening to? Why are you telling the story of what happened now? Because it happened to you, that's the reason?
Because it happened to you.
Have you assessed your own, role in the whole thing?
Before, Uncle.
No, but that's what I'm saying. So I keep asking you, but you haven't told me. What was going on with you? When you assessed it, what did you figure out was going on with you?
I started with telling you, I said, and I think I was clear when I started, I said, they caught me at a very vulnerable stage. There was a confluence. Hold on. I said, and I'm repeating myself, I said there was a confluence of events that occurred. I said I had just received bad news.
Okay, so bad news is always going to do this to you in every situation.
I said I was juggling a number of things at the same time.
And so why didn't you tell them, listen, I can't talk right now, I'm busy. Let's do this later.
Talking about the past, and you're asking me what I should have done in the past. Or are we talking about what I will do in the future? Because this is what we're talking about.
Why did it have to happen to you for you to know that this is the behavior that you have to exhibit should this happen?
You haven't heard
stories of this happening to so many people before.
Listen, I have never, ever, and before this happened, I would have been the first to tell you never. They can never catch me with any sky.
Right. So how is it that they caught you this time?
100%, I would be like, click.
They caught you this time? So what you're saying now, if this were to happen to you tomorrow,
it would happen.
Hold on. If this were to happen to you tomorrow, the same sequence of events that happened, God forbid, but the things that, the bad news you had and the juggling that you had, and this now, and then you get the phone call, you're saying that your behavior will be different.
I don't even pick up my phone anymore. If I don't, bottom line, I let everybody go to voicemail. Go to voicemail. I'll talk to you from voicemail. I'll call you back. Bottom line. You've got to learn something from every experience.
My thing is there's some experiences you shouldn't have to learn from. Well, you shouldn't ever allow it to happen to you.
It has happened.
We're talking about shit that's gone down.
Not what is that to come. It has happened. I'm telling you a story that happened in my life.
2021. And
I tell you honestly, to God be the glory, because I don't know. I'm sharing this story in the hope that people that are listening will, continue to learn from it. I reported to FTC. I did everything I was supposed to do. Changed all my passwords, bank accounts, everything.
Go and close that account. Take the money out of that account and put it in a new account.
Everything you have to do to...
Are you listening to me?
I've heard you.
Go and do it. That should have been the first thing you did.
Go and do it. And I listened to what they said, but you've given me an additional layer of what to do. So I will go into the bank. It doesn't cost me anything to change, to have them change the account. Right.
So this is what I know. And I've told you, go and close that account immediately. Mm. There's so many ways, because
even with that account number, they can take
you know
that
they
and
don't
get
see,
access to your other account
see,
if you have
they don't
other accounts.
See, they don't see the account number. The banks have actually done a lot to help because they mask out all the digits. Even when you're logged into your system, you can't really see your details. Everything is X'd out.
Do you know how easy it is? Okay, let me tell you. B and I the other day were doing an accounting of all the different accounts we have and things like that. Looking at our credit cards, looking at where bills are going. We were sorting all that out. There were two recurring charges that showed up on his account. And he said he believes those are mine. So I said, what are the amounts? And he told me. And I went to check, because what we're doing is we're trying to put certain type of charges on one, you know, coming out of one account. These are the type of charges we use this. Just to put our life in order.
Right.
So I told him, no, those are not my accounts. He says, no, that he believes that they're mine. So I said, I was like, I don't know. We're not going to. I said, pull up the credit card bill. Let's see. We now saw it. They're two different charges months apart. And I said, those amounts don't ring a bell. And then he goes, so I said, who is the provider or the account or whatever, the seller or whatever. And he says, name.com. And I was like, what? I said, I've never even heard of them before. And if it's, you know, my online things that I do, I've never heard of them and I've never used name.com. Is it a GoDaddy or what's this place? So I said, that's not mine. And he kept insisting it was mine. So I said, open it up. We opened it up and then said it was an in-person transaction. I said, no. Huh. I said, this is ridiculous.
In person.
Yeah. So I was like, let's pull it up. So he pulled it up. I was like, we need to find out what's going on. In person, it had a Denver number. And I was like, what? What's my business with Denver? Exactly. So I was like, no, this is wrong. So we looked it up, pulled it up online. There was a phone number for us to call. We called the number. They said, well, you know, do a chat online to get the information. The whole reason I'm telling you about this is to show you how easy it is, especially when you're dealing with a human being. Even though it was chat, it wasn't a robot, it was an actual person who was replying to us through chat. And all you have to do is be nice to that person, and that person can ignore those protections, you know, that are set in place to avoid fraud from happening.
Right.
So, you know, we went on, he logged on or whatever. When we got the person, turns out that there were some two online things that he had from years ago, years before I even knew him, and had started back charging. I don't know if it started back charging, having recurring charges, or it was always there and he never paid attention.
He never noticed.
Yes. So first of all, I looked at him to say, you sat here. You already know. You've sat here accusing me of something that obviously wasn't mine. And then we don't even know how to turn it off, because they said they're recurring charges. There are old things that he did. He doesn't remember the user ID, password, or whatever that he used to set it up.
Right.
The person we were chatting to said, I'm sorry, there's no way I can cancel that because those are recurring charges that you set up that you have to cancel it. And he's like, I'm here telling you that
I didn't do it.
I don't even know what you're talking about. Just cancel the thing. And they're like, no, we can't. And she was saying, well, I can't tell you this, but if you tell me, I will say yes
verify.
To you.
Wow.
Yes. Imagine that. So imagine a fraudulent person who has a list of different things they can try. Here they now they have access to your information. So I'm just telling them, we don't have time for this. This is your credit card. Call your credit card and tell them to cancel that transaction. Full stop.
End of conversation.
He was busy going back and forth with me. I said, listen, you're married to a banker. I have a lifelong experience working in banks, in different aspects of the bank. And I've done retail banking, and I'm telling you, this is what you need to do. We don't have time for this. Call your bank and dispute that transaction.
Call the credit card company. Right.
Yes.
Right.
And he was going on and on. But anyway, the reason I was talking about that story is all they need to do is have a list of different basic, you know what they do online now? They send those
stupid questions. Security questions.
And people will go in there and be answering.
And you know what? First of all, I never tell the truth in any of those questions because I'm like, anybody that knows me can answer those questions.
Mm-hmm.
So I never tell the truth.
You're even answering. I'm not even playing.
I have a list.
I'm just like,
You know now for a number of things that you set up, like when you're setting up your accounts or things like that, they don't even allow you bypass the security questions. You have to.
Oh, you're talking about for your security questions.
Yes. You
never tell the truth. Oh, okay.
I don't.
Exactly. That's one thing to do.
Because the thing is,
you lived with me if you're my friend from 10 years ago and you knew you I lived on this street.
You know the answers.
Now you have the answer.
Mother's maiden name, like hello.
You know my pet's name, you know? So that's all.
You know, what's your first pet's name? You don't even need a sibling. A good friend, people around you can have the answers.
Unless your mother's maiden name is one that nobody, even yourself, you can't spell.
You understand? So I was like, these questions are stupid. One. So I have an answer. I have my own answer that I answer to those questions. And then I have that written, you know, somewhere. I have that in my mind because I have, okay, this is the answer for this. This is the answer for this, the answer for this. But never, never, never the true answers.
That two-step verification that they came up with, it's genius. I love it, you know. And sometimes I can be using my laptop. When I go downstairs to my computer, it will say, we don't recognize this device, you know.
Right.
Then I have to do two-step to answer. Right. I love those.
Right. The thing is, I tell you, if I have not been, I can't tell you of a time that I have been defrauded. Like even my credit cards, I really thought I was so safe. And that is my hubris. And secondly, I was just irritated. God, forgive me for this. But honestly, how do I
you
say this?
To argue. That's what
how
I'm saying.
How do I say this?
Look, let me say it for you. You like to argue. You like to prove a point.
Let me finish.
You were sitting down with me.
I was about to say, God help me. How do I say this? First of all, the ethnicity of the person that I was talking to was already irritating me. I was like, all these people that like to pretend like they're intelligent, meanwhile, there's nothing in their brain. Why is this idiot just wasting my time? I have to tell you, I feel so stupid. So I'm like trying to train them on their stupidity. Like, why are you wasting my time? Like, just
meanwhile, if not for just they were learners, they would have shown you how not stupid they were.
I've told you. You know, there was one point, you know, and I play this back and I realize that they probably had thought at that moment that they had got me. Because here's the thing, when she was talking, she was like, I can't see what's going on your system. It's a remote, it's a secure server. I have no access. Then I asked the stupid girl this question. I was like, you keep saying you can't see what's going on. Meanwhile, you're typing with the chat person online and I can see what you're typing and I can hear the corresponding clicks on the keyboard at your end. And you're telling me you can't see what's going on? See me see trouble.
You see, that's too much. Too many syllables and words.
Too much. No, grammar.
Grammar. You can't call me and start telling me something's happening to my... This is what they did to me 15 years ago. My bank. My bank because I was like, oh my God, your bank calls you warning about fraud. I was so excited. I closed my account. But I know that in 2021, my bank is never going to call me to do that.
Listen, Honestly, I have not. I will tell you, I have never. The only time, and you're right, it's been a long time. I got a call from the bank. Now that we're talking about it, and any the time I got a call from a bank was a very, very long time ago. But it
very
was
long a time ago hold, in the middle on, of the night. Hold on, hold
on,
me up.
Hold on. It was a fraud alert about a transaction that I had actually done, but because it was an unusual pattern, that's why I got the call. And I was like, okay. So I have never, I just have always felt like my security measures are such that nobody can ever try to defraud me in Dioshi.
That was in the middle of the night. They woke me up, you know, and then right after that, then they put the fraud protection. So whenever I travel out of the country or even interstate, I have to call them first and tell them, here's the state I'm going to, or here's the country I'm going to. I'm going to be using my card here. Then they'll ask me, this other account that ends in this number, will you be using it there? That's how that happened. So nobody calls me. I'm the one who does the calling.
Look,
now,
I tell you, it won't be me ever again. I don't know how else to tell the story. I'm only sharing because I don't know. I mean, a lot of people get defrauded. It is just a multi-million dollar business. And I'm sharing and opening myself up in the hope that other people will not, you know, be defrauded. Because no matter what you do, people are constantly, and I keep saying to myself, so people that didn't have any of the levels of protection that I had, they would have wiped out their money. 2 seconds. And someone said to me, a 1 minute joke, you were on the phone. And in retrospect, I keep saying, I said, thank you, Jesus. That hour and 14 minutes prevented them. I don't know how many people it prevented them from having access to.
Now you're the angel of fraudulent activity.
I'm telling you.
Imagine.
I was
luckily
like, oh,
for you,
my
you
God.
Learn it. Because thank let me that whoever Jesus. Told you a 5 minute situation, that's they're absolutely right. The person who called you was new to this. Because it doesn't take that long.
Once we get off this podcast, I will tell you what other protections I had in place, and then you'll understand where I'm coming from. But I am saying
I'm happy to hear the other protections, but what I want you to understand is the people who called you are new to this. Because if they've been doing it for a long time, they are aware of certain protections. In fact, the minute they got access, the minute you gave them access to your computer, they would have already started checking for those protections to shut it down so that there's Zelle transaction.
Let me tell you another thing. So with my system, I'm always, first of all, I don't log in as admin user into my system, period. So one of the things, and I can share this, and I hope that people will do this. One of the levels of protections I had, which would probably save me from them downloading a lot of malware and other stuff onto my system, was that I logged in as a normal user. I don't give myself administrative privileges. That's the user that I have on my laptop. Anytime I have to download.
That's the same thing, that's standard.
I believe, for the most part. Well, not everybody does that.
Mm-hmm.
When I did that, every time I have to download something, I have to approve the access. But also I think I want to say is that there were three levels of access when I was downloading that software. There was just to give the person authorization just to view. Then there was the authorization to give the person to view and take control, like if you had an IT person remoting into your system to try to fix something. And then the last access was giving that remote system read and write access to your disk. My normal fail-safe does not allow, not by any circumstance, any software that is downloaded from the web or anybody that is remoting into my system does not allow them read or write access to the disk, period. So I believe that was also another step of protection that saved me, because ideally they should have been downloading, as they were taking control, they would have been downloading all sorts of things into my system to harvest my data, take all my information.
Not necessarily. All they want to do is to collect your money.
Well,
that's all they want.
You know, let me not presuppose what they're doing, but I thank God that that was not what they did. And yeah, that even if they tried it, they didn't have access to.
I mean, we're talking about masterminds who hold, you know, conglomerates and huge federal government for ransom.
For ransom.
You know, so I'm trying to explain to you, the person who came on was a learner. And they didn't take advantage.
I thank God for whatever it was, whether they were learners, whether it was my other alternative protections. I am just grateful because I have PTSD when I replay, when I have a flashback.
You don't have PTSD.
My flashback is when they were hidden. There was nothing that should have stopped that Zelle transaction from going through. They were hitting send. You could see their frustration. Now yeah. I can see it in hindsight. Send. They even told me, oh, ma'am, can you help us hit the send me? So I hit the send.
Wow.
Jesus. Ah, God Almighty. I can't even tell the story. That's what I'm telling you. Honestly, if they had taken my money, I would not tell the story. Shame alone would have killed me. I would have died of shame and embarrassment. Hi. And that's what they rely on, unfortunately, because a lot of people, after they've been defrauded, can't believe that they allowed themselves to be defrauded. And so you don't get a lot of these stories shared.
Who says a lot of the stories are shared, and the people who share the stories don't feel like they should accept responsibility for what happened. Why do you think someone can tell you their prince such and such a son who has an inheritance and they need to collect the inheritance, but they need you to send them $50,000 so that you can share in the inheritance. People are still doing that.
Let's just agree that we're all different, because honestly, as I won't lie to you, as I called back and I was talking, I had to stop. I said, I'm very sorry. I am going to sound really stupid. Please forgive me. I said, I know I sound stupid as I'm saying this.
because you like to argue, because you know you feel when you feel superior, when you feel like there are things that could never happen to you, and those things actually happen to you, that's why you will not share the story. You know what I mean? Because really, realistically, stuff like this should only happen to stupid people.
Realistically.
You know? Realistically, it should only happen because who is going to call you and tell you someone is trying to steal money from your account, and they don't start off by telling you what the account number is. Listen, and then you entertain the conversation and then look, they say they're collecting $1,500 from you. Now they want to do a test with $500 for a completely different company. I think Zelle is now under Bank of America or something. I'm not sure. Or there's a combination of banks that are in partnership with Zelle, you know? It's not even your own bank that is doing the transfer. They brought in Zelle,
You don't even understand. They had to set up Zelle, send authorization code to my email. I logged into my email to get the authorization code to authorize the
Zelle. Did you log into your email on your phone or on the same computer that they had access to that they could see?
Now.
I'm telling you, if I were you, that email, I'm shutting it down. My bank account, I'm transferring the funds, closing that account down. Because they have what they're doing, because now that they have access to your computer, they can be running a script on their computer that is recording
They're doing. 100%. So they're harvesting the data. I'm hearing you. That's why I said I was fortunate that, you know, you're saying they're even recording the screen. So they're limited to what is on the screen. What if they're
I said they're running a script.
Right.
Recording everything, every keystroke, every age, moving, everything that's happening.
Yeah,
but they're recording that.
But their script is recording what it's able to see. What I'm saying is they could have taken it one step further. You are even talking about on their system. What if they downloaded it to my system? Ah, look, my dear, I was like, ugh, it was too much for me. That's all I can say. It was too much. Too much by half.
You got to live and learn. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun. So I was like, dun, 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 dun. Stupidity. Mugu, 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 Mugu. They would have finished and said Mugu.
we started singing their song. My Mugu don't land. My Maga.
They'll be like, ah, Mugu, I've chopped this one. And they would have even been even more vicious because of all the argument I was arguing with them.
How?
Like, the minute they would have taken the money and the thing had gone, they would have been like, idiots, stupid. Why are you arguing?
I mean, but really, that is what I want to talk about, because you're going in all these places. Why do you feel the need to try to tell somebody, you know, to try to be right in that situation? Why do you feel the need to do that? Tell me.
I don't even think it was about being right.
Whatever it was about, why did you feel the need to engage?
I don't know. I don't know.
And I think that's what you need to figure out.
Okay, I will go for therapy, obviously. I need something.
If it's therapy you need, you know, I don't know. Maybe you should. But to me, because there are certain things that, you see, especially when it has to do with my life. You're telling me that someone's trying to steal money from my account. You didn't give me the account number. I did 123. I've checked. Nothing is amiss. Now you're going into places that I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm not going to sit down and argue with you. I'll just tell them, listen, let me call you back. And I will immediately call my bank and say, someone just called me about this. But the thing is, I wouldn't even go there because, number one, I know my bank is never going to call me to do that.
Okay.
Let me go each step of the way. Let's say I went through whatever was happening and I was in a funk and I had all these things and I picked up the phone and I engaged and I went through that first bit where, hey, someone is trying to steal your account, steal your information. The very first thing I'd have said, please tell me what the account number is.
At that point,
that person does not have my account number. They cannot tell me the account number. Then we have nothing to talk about going forward. I will just tell them, okay, you are very stupid. You are very stupid for calling me and trying this joke.
If we go through the whole process that I went through, at every step of the way, you can see a point that you should have just disengaged.
Exactly.
And abandoned. That is a fact. So, however, that's not what happened. That's why I'm sharing the story. This is not what happened. I am just
what
grateful.
Should have happened. Go ahead and close that account. And you maybe need a spa week, not even just spa day, spa week. This is to help you decompress, because the story is just, it's crazy. Like, for me, I'm just like, what? This happened to you?
And everybody has been like, really? What's going on? You know? And that's just a flashing light that's telling you, you know?
You know, they're doing so many things now. Now, somebody is sending me, you know, now they can send text messages. Was it text messages?
I delete those.
Your phone number. Yeah, or something like that. Or the link. They send you porn links and things like that.
I just delete.
What is this? How did you get my
You know, because
they say
that with some of the newer what do you call it, spyware, or some of the newer tools that the criminals have, they gain the ability to access your phone or your device just with that text message. You don't even need to click on the link. As soon as they send the message, they've gotten access. That's how that Pegasus, the system that Israel was selling. That's how it works.
They're sending you all kinds of things. There was one, I don't know what they sent. They sent a link.
So I'm like,
can
we just block SMS? That's the thing is now.
I was like, I don't know how this happened.
To block SMS from unknown numbers. If the number is not stored in your phone book, you should be able to block that SMS from even
coming. Anything that comes through, I just block. I'm saying, shouldn't
we have a standard block? They should.
Yeah, you have that. You have that, but the risk you run with that is blocking actual, you know, because like
for the two right.
factor, yeah, like the two right. factor authorization, you know, they send you text messages number, with right. the code, yeah. Right. So that's right. the risk you run with that. So well, I, then, don't when have, you're getting, I don't set that.
When you're just, getting two factor authentication, then you unblock it. You enable the system, you unblock your SMS.
Yeah, that's a long process that you have to go through.
It might be worth it. They
come through real quick. They come through real quick, you know, and then they have a time limit on the screen. Right, you need to respond within this. So instead of doing that, I avoid all that by, I already, once the text comes through, your phone shows you maybe the first line of it. I just hold it down, check it. Block, delete. And then the good thing about Androids, and I don't know if iPhones do this as well, there's a cache of those numbers stored, you know. So it won't repeat itself. But the thing is, these thieves, they're so quick.
They have immediately so many
numbers. It sent you another number. So it's horrible.
They have generated a new one. It's crazy. It's just the impunity of criminals. You don't work for somebody's money and yet you want to defraud them.
It's terrible.
Just the impunity of the whole thing, you know.
Hey,
have this thing where it's like you think that criminality is a guy's world. I was talking to this girl. I say, oh Lord, you know. And maybe that's it. Maybe we have a bias as well. Maybe I had a bias. Maybe if it was a guy, I would have been attuned immediately. But maybe because she was female, I can't tell you. I was just like, this is nonsense. I cannot believe me.
Yeah, there's a lot to learn. And I don't know if you've done it, but honestly, I would sit down and go through the events of the day, outline it on my little notebook, and then tackle each one by one and find out, you know, where did I do this? Like the day B and I were going out the other day, this one just blew my mind. I was driving, typically, I let the garage door up and I press the button to push it down. And then he sets the alarm. Each of us has our role. So I drove out of the garage and because it's like muscle memory, I thought I had already hit the button. We went the whole day, did all our errands, drove back to the house and the garage, the thing was up. And I almost... When I tell you, I almost passed out. I couldn't get over it. I had to sit down. I had to write, what is it? How did I not do that? And typically, I drive out, push the button, wait for the thing to the gates to come down. And I honestly thought I had done all that. So for the next 3 days, I was still kicking myself about that. We did set the alarm. I locked the door going into the house, but the garage door wasn't down. And then the other thing was, why didn't our security system tell us that the garage door was left
or still open?
Yeah. I'm like, why doesn't it do that? Why doesn't it have, if you're driving through and you push the button for it to come down, there's a sensor that stops the garage from coming down. So if there's a sensor that does that, why didn't it alert us that, hey, you left the garage door open? So I had to go over in my mind, you know, where we have to figure out why it's not doing that. There's a whole lot of things. But luckily for us, nothing happened. It was a terrible situation. And I was like, no. This can't happen on my watch. Exactly.
Never again. That's really it. Mugu. Hi. I'm just like, every time I'm like, I just, you know. They were looking at the money. They couldn't touch it. That's my only joy right now. That's what I used to.
Cancel that account because that money was plenty. That annoyance that is biting them right now. That is if they haven't lashed that girl, giving her 30 lashes of the cane for being stupid. You know, they've lashed her. They said, all that money. We left behind. First of all, collect your lashing And then now let's plan how we will attack this lady, because obviously she has our time, you know.
My dear. The fear.
Oh, we thank God. God is great. Honestly, that's what you have to say. This is how you know that you have a powerful God.
Mm-hmm. You have a powerful God, because this story should not have. This story we're telling is a good story. It didn't have to end this way, and I'm glad that it did. You know, I really am. But it was, my dear. Moving on to lighter notes. Did you see Will Smith's GQ article?
What was it about? What he was talking. Listen, in my mind, I was like, so every year. It's either Jada or Will that will come and tell us about their nonsense marriage.
But you know what was funny was, I'm like, why are you telling us about an open marriage that everybody knew about, that you guys were in an open marriage, and you're now telling it like it's something new, like you're confessing new things to the rest of the world? Like, hello? Like, move on.
He's not. See, the thing is, this girl... I didn't read the article because I was like, I'm over this guy. The headline was enough. But here's the thing. Last year, his wife sits down and is talking about how she had an affair with a guy. Yeah, she called an entanglement with a boy. You can imagine how bruised Will Smith's ego is, because this is a boy who came into the house under the guise of, oh, my son's friend. She was sleeping with him. Who's to say she didn't sleep with him on their matrimonial bed? He had free access into her house anytime he wanted. She was having an affair with this guy under his eyes. So now he wants to now say he's on. I think I saw one little blurb saying, yes, he had his pick of women. He put Halle Berry's name there or something. I said, look at this guy. Stop it. We're done with this. You married your wife. Both of you decided how you want to live your lives. If you want to go around carry all the women in the world, and she wants to carry all the men in the world, and both of you are fine with it, that's your business. But
it's
your
business, like, quite frankly. I was looking at it, and people were like, intimacy coach. I mean, it's good to have money, the things that you can just enter, because you're like, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this, and all the things that you can explore. So you want to explore intimacy coach, core, lifestyle coach. I beg you, move on. Give us
it's ridiculous. It was highly ridiculous to see them sitting across from each other, announcing to the whole world that, yes, she...
Announcing what has been speculated for a long time, and people have said, oh, this is what they're doing.
And the only reason they had that conversation was because the one boy, the August Alsina boy, whatever his name, was releasing a record last year. And the one chick that did the interview with him asked him all these questions, and he let it all out. So they felt they had to do their damage control. And then they came up with that. All right, so done. It took over the airwaves and interwebs for a good how many weeks. We're not doing it again in 2021. Let's focus on you being, King Williams, the father of Venus and Serena Williams. Let's focus on that. Let's not hear your nonsense, sordid, way you want to live your life. We don't want to hear that. Can we talk about you being,
Let's just talk about your acting. Let's talk about exactly what you're doing. I was like, old news. Like, I don't get it. I don't even get, maybe you'll say they asked him the question. And then they ask you the question, and then you're coy about it. You're like, well, I don't really want to get into that. I'm like, okay.
Wrong with saying, listen, my wife and I are happy. Okay. We like every marriage, me and my B just downstairs, we got into it. We're arguing about something. We are human beings. Even though you're one because it's a marriage, but you still have separate brains and you have different ideas about how you're going to look at certain things. So you're going to argue every now and then. What's wrong with saying, look, my wife and I, things happened. We fixed our situation. This is where we are. Or if that's not what the situation is, we're not happy together. We're going to go our separate ways. Okay, thank you. Bye. Next. You want to tell us all this nonsense that makes no sense, because you do not understand what marriage is about and the sanctity of marriage. You
had an idea of what you wanted.
You married a woman who doesn't see things that way. You know?
I'm even taking it one step further. I'm saying, look, fine. Say, do whatever it is that you want to do. But what I'm saying is, this is old news. Whatever you're saying is old news. What are you telling us that is new? What are you telling us that we've not heard before? So why are you trying to revitalize something that has died?
Yeah, because this is coming from him.
Yeah, but
he has had a chance to sit down. Look, he was the brunt of jokes for the longest time. After that, their red table talk or whatever nonsense they caught themselves doing. It is a bruised ego. So now he feels it's his time to come out and say, listen, you know, whatever he said, I didn't read the article, so I'm not even going to talk too much about it. All I'm saying is, we're not going to be doing this. 2022 is not going to come around, and then you bring up this another with this your same marriage. It's okay.
Can you imagine? I'm like, please, next.
We're not going to be talking about you every year and your sordid, you know, marital life. No. We're not going to do that.
That's
mm-hmm.
too much.
It's okay.
It's too much.
It's okay. The one that was making me laugh is the R. Kelly guilty verdict and the fact that R. Kelly thought he was going to get off scot-free. I was
how?
Like, Uncle,
how?
I said, are you living in reality?
You're on a different planet?
His lawyers were saying he really thought he was going to get off. And I was like, what don't you understand? You know, because the jury were majority men. I think there were like eight or nine men on the jury, and the rest of them.
You want those men to be lynched.
So he thought, because, you know, his boys, you know, bros are in the jury. So he was, I don't know what it was that made him think. After years,
there is no way that anyone on the jury, given the plethora of information that was given, would have found him not guilty. I don't see how. The only way, maybe if there was a technicality in the law or something that his lawyers could have used for his case. But where that was not apparent, it was clear, even before the trial, that he was going to be locked. I told him, I said, look, R. Kelly, they're going to use him. They would put him, lock the door and throw the key away. That's it. That's it for him. So I don't even know how it's going to happen, you know?
He thought he was going to get off. I was like, oh boy. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know.
I don't know what basis. What basis did he think it was going to happen?
I gave you one example. Maybe he was thinking that was going to
be the priest. Was it the priest or the avenger? What is it? Whoever that came out that married them and claimed and said that he was bribed or he was whatever and he didn't know. Is it when that story came out?
You know what? I didn't follow the case. And I'll tell you why. Listen, R. Kelly makes beautiful music. You know, it's so painful for me because when I hear his music, I can't stand him. You know, and I don't want to enjoy his music, but I'm a lover of music. So it's like, I'm just like, this is painful.
You're bobbing your head to the song. You're like, I hate this guy. Yes! You know? I hate this guy. This guy's very annoying. Exactly. You know how you're dancing. Stop.
That is how it is. So
he's moving your body step by step.
Yes, I hate that he has put me in that situation. I hate it. Because
you're like,
what
is it, right?
Step in the name of love.
Right?
Yes.
And then you're like, I hate R. Kelly. That guy is such a bastard. Oh, God.
Yes. I have never liked him for as long as I've known him. Even before he started making that feel good step in the name of love type of music. I mean, I love that music. I've never liked him, but he is a genius when I talk about beautiful music he puts out there. So I was like, why are we still caring about this guy? Why are people still hailing this guy? This guy is a predator. I've been saying it from day one, from Aaliyah days, you know? So it's like, I was like, look, lock this guy up and let's be done with him and move on. But it's terrible, honestly, because I love his music.
Right. Right. Well, I already knew from day one that there was no way he was coming out. I'm like, we're going to forget about him. The next time we hear about him, maybe
he's 50, been to jail. How many? I said jail. He's been to court so many times, and he had been let off. So that's another reason.
No, yeah, but
he knew he was gonna. They've taken him to court before. He's gotten off scot free. And this is where he thought he was just going to fall again. But I was like, why didn't you realize when they threw you in jail that was not going to be the answer?
And refused to let you out on bail.
Why didn't you realize that was not going to be the result, right? You know, this time around? Right. Oh, boy. Anyways.
It is what it is, you know. He's getting his just desserts. I can't even... Nobody can cry water for him. If they had not returned, I think those jurors would have been lynched. I don't even know how they would have been able to survive. So
who's lynching them? I mean, it's not that serious. Oh, they were called to do their civic duty, and that's what their head told them. Okay. We keep all it right. moving.
That's I don't think that was the temperature on the ground, you know, with all the testimony and with all the people. I mean, they would have been getting hate mail. All sorts of things would have been going down. I don't think it would have worked for that.
The juries, let me tell you something. They would not have been, let's be honest, and let's call a spade a spade. They would not, it would have just gone the same way it has gone so many times before.
True that. Probably outcry, anger, and then everybody will move on.
And everybody moves on, exactly. Because it's never that serious. We're talking about, look at the people, the victims here. They're not the victim, the class of victims that people care so much about.
Right, right.
You know? Absolutely. So at the end of the day, what we need to be doing is thanking these jurors for doing the right thing for these class of victims. You know, but let's be honest. Let's call a spade a spade.
If they
had said not guilty, next, that would have been the story.
Of course,
because if you check the internet, if you check social media everywhere, you will see a laundry list of people who think that what's happening to R. Kelly is wrong.
Is wrong. And you know what? Of course, that I'm exaggerating when I say they're going to be lynched. But yeah, I mean, that's unfortunately the way life goes. Is there would have been public outcry, you know. Harry's, oh no, how could they, whatever. And then give it a new cycle or two new cycles, and then we would have been back to, you know. What next? Would have been like, what's next?
We'll be on the Gabriel Petito, you know.
Right.
situation.
Exactly.
Speaking of which, I don't know if you heard about the girl. She's a teenager. I forget the girl's name. She's a Hispanic girl who had gone missing. I think she's Hispanic. And she worked in this apartment complex. When I tell you, beautiful girl. The girl is gorgeous. She worked in this apartment complex, and some guy who works there as well, I think he liked her. And was trying to date her or something, was chasing after her, and she wasn't having any of it. Anyway, he abducted her, and they've been looking for her. They now found him. Yes, they now found him.
The guy that killed himself, right?
They now found him dead. Well, today I just saw a little news blurb that they found her body.
Ooh.
And you know, the parents were saying, you know, that they believe that she's still out there, she's alive, and everything. They found her body.
Oh no!
So I have to find.
Well, to be honest, I think when I read that he had killed himself, I kind of suspected that she was gone as well.
No, that's for sure. They tell you once someone is abducted within 48 hours, if you don't find them, more than likely the person is gone, and that has been the case in every situation, you know, for the most part. You like all likelihood. They're dead, and when this guy killed himself, of course, you already know That's and
something, how far something we know, has this, gone
this, down. Petito girl as well. That's probably the same thing. This laundry guy is going to do.
Because they can't find him, right?
Yeah.
I've been thinking about that they might find him somewhere dead. Who knows?
Yes, probably killed himself. Either that or, you know, I mean, think about it. His parents helped him. They had time to help him. I mean, he might be in Mexico. We don't know. And they're throwing off the scent by saying he went into the woods or whatever.
Right, right.
You know?
I don't know.
They had time to send him off. So he could be somewhere, you know, somewhere. He had access to her account, remember? She's a YouTuber. I don't know if I've never seen her before in my life. Apparently she's a YouTuber or whatever. Maybe she has YouTube money. He had access to her account, which is the what they brought against him. You know, they're not calling him for her murder. They're calling him a fugitive based on, oh, you accessed her account and that's fraudulent, right?
Right. Right.
So he had access to her account. Who knows what type of money was there? Got home without her. His parents didn't say, yeah, where's this girl? Because they probably knew what he did. And then they helped him get away. So we're looking for him in the woods.
Homo, they were probably in denial about what he did. They didn't want to believe that their son was
capable. What are you talking about?
Of such heinous behavior.
What are you saying?
Didn't you hear me? I said that.
They knew what he did. They knew why the girl was not without problems. Apparently, she said she had bipolar or whatever. She said it herself. So who knows? They live together. They've probably gotten into fights many, many times before, I'm sure. They know what their son is capable of. What I'm trying to say is they probably helped him get away. What's the use? She's already dead. What's the use in you dying as well? He is probably in Guatemala, Ecuador, somewhere. Okay? And we're looking for him in some bush. Either that or he's offed himself. Those are the two options. So, I mean, it's just crazy.
It's crazy, really. I agree with you. 100%.
Yeah, well, that's 100%. It.
100%. But we'll let it go there.
Yeah.
And catch you on the rebound.
Mm-hmm. don't be answering the phone from people telling you they're carrying your money from Indonesia.
Can you imagine?
Let that be a lesson to you.
People with Indian accents.
Don't collect again. Just say it's okay. Thank you. Oh, they're stealing my money. Thanks. Bye. Thanks,
so bye.
That's how you answer it. It's, you know, don't seriously entertain them. How would you see the people who play jokes with this, play pranks with, okay, you call me, really? And they play along with them. If that's what you were doing, say, hey, don't get serious and be arguing with them and telling them why you
please do.
That could be a lesson to you.
Story, my dear.
Story.
All right.
Ciao.
Ciao. Thank you for joining us.
Leave us a 59-second voice note by clicking on the message button.
Comment, like, share, search for Tea with Mrs. S on the internet.
And if you like what you hear, subscribe by clicking on the support button.